I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 36.
Six.
Okay, we got it right. 36. We are in the new place.
Yes, we are.
As you can see, this is not our normal setup. This is the temporary. We just got the table today.
Exactly.
So I hope it's not echoey and stuff in here. We got a lot of shit to do. I got like a Twitch station behind me. Some of you guys seen on Twitch the other night, and now we can start putting things on the wall and sound matting and all that good stuff. So we're finally here. We talked about it for a year.
Yeah,
a fucking year. So we're finally here. We're in the space. We're in the right space. So we'll get it together and have actually got RGB lighting coming tomorrow. So we'll have it looking cool.
Hell yes.
And different camera angles. So yes. And this is a temporary iPhone fix. So we'll have actual different cameras and all that good stuff coming soon.
Could be pretty cool.
But yeah, it's been a while, and so we were kind of struggling because I've been doing a lot of moving, obviously, and all that stuff, and you've been busy, but we're like, we hadn't watched anything. I'm currently catching up to James on a few things.
Yeah.
On topics, but what we've been doing is we've both written books, or almost.
We did. We wrote some damn books.
We wrote books, and let's talk about our books. I'm about 3-4 chapters from the first manuscript being done. You've read a lot of it.
I have.
I've got some beta readers on Patreon, and so and you're writing a memoir.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little behind you. I've got 8 chapters.
But they're long, good stories.
Yeah, each chapter is its own story, and I'm about 20,000 words in, and I feel like if I look at my list of potential stories, I believe this is probably going to be about 50 or 60,000 words. I've probably got about six or seven more to do.
Six or seven chat. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's so probably going to so be. So you're talking about a 15, 16, 18 chapters, maybe 20?
Yeah. And that's going to put me a lot of words, but like you said, each one of them is just a good little story.
They really are. And some of you guys have heard James' stories over the years.
Yes.
A few, but you've heard the Cliff Notes.
That's right.
Version.
That's a good way to put it. That's all. You'll be familiar with some of the stories, but yes, these go more in depth.
Because I've read, I think, most of your chapters. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the recent ones or whatever, but they're fucking good, man. It's really good. It really is. I mean, like you said, your goal was to make the reader feel this tall as in a kid. Like you're
right.
Almost through your eyes.
Through
my
eyes. And that's what I've tried to do when I've done a chapter, say where I'm 5 years old.
Right.
And I'm trying to describe something that I'm looking at. I do try to word it to where the reader feels that.
Yeah, and you definitely can't. And it's fucking hilarious. I mean, because you're using, I know, Southern.
Right.
And rednecks, and the way they talk is in that fucking book.
That's
the way we are, you know, some of us talk. Some of our family members.
Let people read it, I've had to say, you know, if language bothers you.
Yes, don't read it.
You don't want to read this, but this is how people talked.
Right, that's part of what made you and made the stories unique to you.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's not, you can't sugarcoat stuff like that. No, it's a memoir.
It is.
It's a memoir.
So there's going to be some, you read the chapter about the soap, the side effects of the soap,
yeah,
where I was masturbating for the first time.
Yes, and everybody, so, I'm telling you, every dude has that story.
So, you know, you got to have the right language to along to set that scene.
That's right. You know? You can't just put it in layman's terms just to be nice.
Yeah,
no,
you got the older buddy who's trying to educate you, but he's trying to be cool too. So he's cursing you out, right, and calling you a right, puss and all this stuff. Right.
Get in there and do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Now mine was a little different from that, having anybody egging me on, but still. But no, that's just what was really cool. Because we were saying this when me and you were watching something last night, and we got in a bunch of conversations, and it doesn't matter if you're not some blue check mark on Twitter everybody has a story.
They do.
And it's really, really interesting to me. Like we talked about one day maybe going to Cherokee and interviewing General Grant, the last Cherokee master silversmith in Cherokee, North Carolina, on the reservation, the Cherokee, the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, the reservation. And, you know, talking to people like that, because they have a very unique perspective on things. But everybody has a story.
And that's what I was going to say. You know, you came home from Cherokee when you went camping and fishing and told me about this guy.
Right.
And, I mean, honestly, it's not just the story of, you know, because he's Cherokee, he's still an individual.
Exactly.
So he's going to have a different perspective, say, than his cousins up there and everything. So each person...
That's what bothers me about society is we're not individuals anymore. We're all in fucking groups.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
You know, I think if somebody was going to, you know, read a memoir and I don't have PhD or MD beside my name,
yes,
will they be interested? I think you're missing out if you judge things by that. By those initials
appeal to authority type of thing is just nonsense. That means nothing in the case of personal stories.
Right.
I mean, if you were coming here talking about physics, writing a book about physics, that would matter.
You would want to see that.
That's what you'd be looking for.
You
wouldn't buy it if it just said James Wright.
Right.
If it said physics my way, you know, because there is no my way.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
I might write that book.
Yeah, I know. I do actually want to talk about physics sometime. I know you don't, but I'm so into particle physics.
Well,
and I don't know. It's just crazy to me. Anyway, we're getting off topic a little bit, but you
know. Well, you know, and well, your story, your book. Now you're writing a novel, a fantasy novel.
Yeah, yeah. So much in my head.
See, that's where I have an advantage on you is I'm recalling things that I remember. My world's already built.
Yes, it's the
absolute. All I have to do is describe.
That's right. It's the absolute real world and your environment. Yeah.
So you have to make up the world, and not that you don't have things you can pull from.
Oh,
But you still have to imagine it. Imagine each setting and each character. Because if I write about my aunt or my mom or my babysitter, like I know what they look like, so I can just easily. You have to invent these people. And then describe them.
Yes, there's. Everybody knows when you write a book, it's a big undertaking. You just know that just because of the sheer size of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not thinking about that. Not only the world, but then the countries and the cities and the towns and the feel and then the characters and then their eye color and their origins, their race, whatever it may be, and then their personalities. Oh my God! I mean, that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the religions in the world, the dialects and all, because you're trying to make it realistic, unless you're doing some like high fantasy thing where it's not pulled from the real world. But this is I guess you could call it, it's based off the real world. It is a different world, but it's based off the real world. I would say low fantasy, maybe into a little bit of dark fantasy, I guess I would describe it, as you know, without giving away
dark
too much.
Fantasy, yeah.
And it's crazy. It's fun. It's frustrating all at the same time. You know what I mean? I'm super excited. I'm pretty close to finishing the first manuscript because, you know, me and you've had a lot of conversation about it. I think this is at least two books, if not three, but I'm not 100% sure. But I think I'm to the point now where I'm two or three chapters from where the first one needs to end.
Well,
because there's a pretty big revelation.
You know, I read this in pieces early on.
Yeah.
So you would get a chapter, I would read it, then I'd read another chapter later, and then...
Yeah, it might be a month later.
Right. So the best thing I ever did was sit down and read it all that one night.
Right.
Or those two nights over at your house. And I got to say, you know, I kept telling you, you know, these characters, they're good characters. The little predicaments that they find themselves in... It leaves the reader wanting more, curious, because a lot of you guys have read the Song of Ice and Fire. His chapters are like POV chapters.
Yes.
So it'll drop off on somebody's POV, and then it'll pick back up on somebody else's, and you're left going, well, I can't wait. I got to read all this to get back to their POV to see how this plays out.
And I think it does a good job. Like, it starts out as kind of fairly normal. You know, there, I think there's a hook. I think there's a hook in the beginning.
There is.
But as you know, now that you sat in and read it all kind of in, you know, two big chunks, you know, night after, two nights in a row you're talking about, you can see it kind of starts picking up into a little more mystery. You start to like, oh, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do. And you gave me a lot of good feedback. When you accused me of thieving, I felt pretty good about it, actually.
That is a good compliment.
It is.
I told him, I said, if I didn't know you, and had like lived with you, saw you in here writing.
Right, right.
I would say you copied and pasted this from somewhere because it's really good.
Right.
I still want to know, you know, where did you do your research? The sex scenes, like
that's from me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple. There's actually another one.
These are very graphic sex scenes in this.
There are. I'm trying to make it real. And I'm trying to keep it real.
He's told me before that he only does missionary with the lights out and the cover pulled up to his neck. These stories aren't like that.
Shit. God. You're bringing up bad memories. Excuse me. No, but yes. Yeah, nah. You know, the sex scenes obviously are from my own. I'm sure that will reveal some stuff about me.
Dude, it really adds to it, too, because it builds these characters is what it does.
Yeah, there's a reason. It's not just for having a hot scene in there.
Yeah.
There are definitely reasons that I can't say, obviously.
Let me ask you this, on all seriousness. Is it hard to tiptoe around, say, authors that you've read? Because you were such a big George R. R. Martin fan.
Yeah.
Is it hard to build a world?
Well, I'm a fan of of Ice and Fire. I'm not a fan of his sci-fi, actually.
Right.
But that's just me. I'm not, anyway.
Right. Because you're building a world that seems like it's set similar. So how hard is that balancing?
You
don't get like, oh, you know, that sounds like this or that.
Remember when I first started, I was like, everything I wrote, I felt like, because we were coming so fresh off Game of Thrones and this TV show ending and all that stuff. Of course, I've been working on this for three years. But everything was like, oh, shit, that sounds like Ice and Fire. But when I initially wrote down my initial kind of, I wouldn't even call it an outline, just some general thoughts I had. Actually, most of it's coming from other things. So it's just also similar because there's so many medieval things. And that's what kind of like, should I write one of these things? It's kind of medieval style. But I think I got something different going on. This is the reason I went ahead with it.
Right.
But I'm pulling from, you know, the story isn't from my head, obviously. But the setting, you know, is from Ice and Fire and from video game series. There's a huge element of that in there. And from all these other things that I'm pulling from. So I thought about that a lot at first. I mean, you had many conversations about it, but the more I look into all these authors and read more stuff, everybody has to.
You have to.
I mean, everybody's pulling from something, and there's inevitably going to be similar things.
Yeah.
You know, you like direwolves. You know, there was something I had in there, and I was like, this sounds like a direwolf or something. But direwolves were real things.
Well,
you know, and so there's things like that that you just can't avoid.
And one thing I thought was, with this gaping hole, I mean, why not? Anybody who likes that kind of stuff, they're already going to like this. And then with the twists you throw in there, I really think if people give this a shot and check this out when you get it published, they'll be pleasantly surprised.
I hope so. Because I think, you know, regardless of the setting, whether it's, you know, in a fantasy style world like Earth, or it's a, you know, sci-fi place, and, you know, or a spaceship or something, I think it's the characters is what matters.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do. And so this is my first attempt at it, but I mean, I'm getting a lot of good feedback, so I feel good about it. I know there's a lot of shit needs to be changed. There's a lot I got to update. I have a lot of name placeholders, you know, that I've changed some, but there's still more to go throughout the later chapters. I have a huge map I've started, which I got to fill in, all that good stuff. Actually, I wrote a kind of, not a script, but more of an outline today for a video, kind of introducing this to the YouTube crowd.
I think that's a good idea.
I got to start doing that. I mean, and also now that I'm nearing the end, I'm talking to one publisher that we worked with before. He's interested, kind of, sort of. He usually don't do fantasy and fiction, but he's willing to maybe publish this under a separate press and everything. So there's some talks there, and then I'm obviously looking up everything about, you know, querying literary agents to get it to a traditional publisher as well. And then have you always got the Amazon option, just self-publishing on Amazon. So all that's kind of happening at one time. And what I'm quickly learning is before the book's even done, I need to be marketing the thing. So I'm going to be setting up an Indiegogo just for an email list for people that are interested. And then it'll, you know, update people whenever it's, you know, getting close. Yeah. So I'm going to set all that up as well. And I'll have all that in another video I put out on the channel as well. It'll be a one-off video. But I'm going to start introducing the place and some characters, get some artwork done, you know, at least some sketches and stuff like that. Because I got these people in my head, you know, and some are described obviously on the page. And so I want some, right, you know, just some. So it's really more for videos for now until, you know, because I do picture, like, then one thing I will certainly do that George R. R. Martin did, I will certainly have a map of the place on the inside cover.
You got to.
You know what I mean? I told
you that from
jump. Yeah, that changes the game.
I don't like reading a place, reading about, yeah, like places, like a fantasy, if I can't joint. Look.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
I like to know, okay, well, they're traveling this way and that way, and this is where that battle took place.
Yeah, and you remember when I drew the map out the first night, I think you were there when, mm-hmm, I was sitting there doing it. I just started literally moving my hand. That was, mm-hmm, it. And it hadn't, I made some minor tweaks, obviously. Yeah. But the basic landmass is still the same. I opened up a little bit down south and changed some things over, and now some places have names. But I literally just wrote that, and I tried to even do that a little bit different from your traditional, you know, fantasy, because Westeros, for example, was you know, the big continent. You got Essos, and everybody's familiar with that. But it's pretty much a plain kind of a. It's really the UK upside down, or whatever, right, Europe upside down. So I even tried to make that a little bit different as far as how what it looks like. And so I'm trying to do some different things, but there's obviously going to be some things that are familiar to people. But when you look into George R. R. Martin, there's so much taken from Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn, Tad Williams, and people like that. So there's always going to be people say that sounds like this or sounds like that. But of course it does. If you're talking about a medieval fantasy world, you know, you're going to have similarities, you know. Right. The Witcher is very similar to Game of Thrones in the sense of the world. But it's the characters and the story behind it that change it, obviously.
Yeah. And I like the way you write with that, you know, Dr. Seuss style. I like that, too.
Yes. A lot of rhyming. I mean, you have no idea my rhyme book. Dr. Seuss style, Jesus.
No.
Green eggs and ham.
You know, I've had issues at my house with my AC unit and everything.
Oh, God.
And, well, I've also had these high water bills, right? And this is off topic, but you said green eggs and ham.
Yeah.
And
shit. Well, you know how these go.
I know. And so I've had these high water bills I've told you about, and the landlord kept saying, well, I'm gonna get it fixed, you know, and like every few months he might take $40 out of the envelope and give it back to me when I pay the rent. Well, just the day before yesterday, he hits me up and he's like, you got any food coloring over there at your house? And I was like, matter of fact, I do. I have some green. What color you need? It don't matter what color it is. I want you to squirt some in the back of your toilet before you go to work.
What the hell?
And then when you come back, if there's any green down there in the bowl, then you'll know your toilet's leaking. You need a new valve in there.
And I was like,
okay, that's a good idea. But I only had green food coloring because I made that green eggs and ham for Melanie that time.
Right.
That shit turned out so ugly. Oh my God. Don't try to make green scrambled eggs. It looks horrible.
Oh, God. I bet it would.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know in the book it was like a fried egg.
Right.
But anyway, that's what that reminded me of.
The things we do for love.
Oh, God.
Damn, speaking of ice and fire.
Trying to make green eggs and ham.
But yeah, no, I'm excited about it, man. I'm really pumped up about it. And I've got a couple other YouTube friends reading it as well. And I've gotten good feedback from a couple. Not everybody's, replied yet. So I know they're all busy, so I'm not taking that as some slight or something. But
right. But what I've learned, though, is when you write stuff, and you turn it loose, like you know, hey, I'm going to share this with you and get feedback. It does kind of tear your nerves up. I've got somebody right now who I've sent some stuff to, and they haven't responded.
Right.
And you almost feel like, are they not responding because they don't like it and they don't want to hurt my feelings?
Exactly. And that's what I tell you. You know, when I first put the prologue, chapter 1 and 2, on Patreon, I'm about to release more on Patreon too for, you know, beta readers, because I have a level where they're going to get a book, a copy of the book and everything. But I wanted honest feedback from people that I trust, and I want honest feedback. I don't want the nice shit. I mean, if you got something nice, they fine, but just don't forget the negatives. I really need to hear
you do.
You have to hear that. And so you're afraid that people are still being nice, because I've got a couple things about, you know, I don't like this part of this, or this don't sound right, or this is a bit confusing. But that's not horrible. But I haven't heard anything horrible yet. Like, yeah, this, you got to scrap that whole shit. That whole paragraph sucks. I haven't heard anything like that. So it worries me a little bit that people are being nice. But when you read it the whole time, you had the reactions when you read it the full thing at one time. You had the reactions I'm sitting here thinking about when I'm writing.
Yes.
And so that's what really made me feel better about it.
And so we see that, like, I didn't know that you were even paying me attention because you were packing and stuff.
Yeah, but you know, and that's the thing, you know the secret.
I know.
You know the secret that's coming.
So, right.
And
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if the secret's there or not, it's a good story.
Right. That's what I'm taking from it now. Yeah, because I was so worried. You know, I said that a million times. Is this even a story?
Right. You said that. You have said
and
it
I
a
had
lot.
The ending.
And
I was literally
scared
had the
to
ending.
Read it.
Right.
Because I had read a few chapters early on, but you kept dogging it so much, I was like scared to sit down and read it. Or not dogging it, but questioning it.
Yeah, yeah.
Questioning it. So I was like, fuck, how am I going to say this thing? But honestly, I'm telling you, and I told you that night, you have good character development, you paint worlds good, and this has to be more than one book.
Yeah, like, no like doubt.
It has to be,
no doubt.
Whether you go backwards or forwards, either way,
right?
You've created good characters, good storylines.
And it's at least two. I know the ending. I know the general ending, but there may be a lot of stuff in between I think of and add later. It could be a trilogy. But definitely too, because there's a certain point, as you know, that will be revealed in the end of this book, and hopefully that people will be like, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say any more than that, obviously.
What?
But that's the idea. And then now, of course, you know, I got the short story that's like a prequel. It's like a separate story that it's referenced in this book already. And because I just got that in my head, oh, that would be kind of cool there. And I wrote that, and that's, you know, 5,000-word short story already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost, it's basically ready to go, I think. I've made some minor tweaks.
I like the short story,
too. And then I told you about stuff, about some of these, let's say, other characters that I can't really mention right now.
Yes.
There's whole entire stories with each one of those.
That's
like, it's
what
its
I'm
own
saying.
Little, at least a short story, if not longer.
Yeah.
Maybe a novelette.
Yeah,
as far as that goes,
the short story. I feel like it'd be cool if you worked it in there somehow.
Yeah, it's already referenced, and it will be referenced even more for sure.
But what do you think of this? Because I had an advantage of when I was reading it to tell you things that I was thinking.
Right.
Clarify
live
things.
Yeah, live, as opposed to, like, you know, somebody reading it and then sending me an email.
So I feel like it would be cool if you could do, maybe for Patreon, like patrons on Patreon, have some kind of live stream, private live stream,
yeah,
where everybody is there.
That's a good idea.
Live.
That's what I want to do.
They can bounce questions and you're there, and, you know, they give you that feedback like you got from me live.
Yes, that was cool. That's a great idea. We've been talking since the move, and before the move, I've been telling like on Twitch streams and stuff, because I hadn't done a lot of YouTube streams recently. But yeah, I wanted to do a call anyway on Patreon. I'm trying, because there's a revamp thing coming with that, all that stuff too. But that's a great thing right there that I had thought about, and you just reminded me, was having that kind of live feedback Q&A type thing that also gets me thinking and not just like,
yep,
you ask me cool questions or whatever, but yes,
it
that
does,
feedback.
It's going to get you thinking, because you have to realize that no matter how much you know about this world, somebody's going to read it and ask you a question that you're not prepared for.
Exactly. And there's going to be things to me that it could be a paragraph, it could be a chapter that's like crystal clear.
Yep.
In my head, like,
and
this
to
is
the reader,
because this, you know, because every chapter has a purpose, and you won't, everything has got a purpose. It moves the story forward and advances the plot. And to me, it's crystal clear. But somebody may go, maybe you need to move that one over here, or take it out, or you know, maybe just change it up. So I need all that feedback, for sure. Because now, once I get this first draft done, and I'll get the, that's what I'm excited about, is printing out the whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got the formatted version where I'm just keep adding chapters to it, and as I clean them up, and it's just getting thicker and thicker.
Right.
I'm print that out, that stack of paper, and then go back and do it again. Because it's going to take about 15 times.
I've got all mine printed out now, but it's not, obviously, it's not formatted front and back.
Yeah.
So it's about this thick, and that is so exciting.
It is. It's got to be. And I print out, you know, obviously the handful for people and stuff here and family members, but not to see the whole stack. I'm ready to see that.
And, you know, as far as mine goes, I think I might have an advantage over you, is that some of my chapters can be weaker to the reader because what the topic I'm talking about isn't their speed. But I can bounce right back in the next one, see, because that's more up their alley, that topic, subject matter.
But I think, man,
changes from
I don't think it would matter. I don't think it matters. I think the story, I don't think it matters about what you were doing in the chapter or the story.
Right.
It's just you were doing it. It's because it's you and the people around you and the way they're, like you said, the way they're speaking and your way you're responding, and we're in your head as a kid. In some of these, at different ages.
Yeah, a lot of different ages.
Because you're bouncing
ages.
Around. I think that's great not to go in some perfect chronological order, by the
right.
way. Because in this one, James is 6 or 7. Over here, you're fucking 15.
Yep. And then I'm 20 in this one. And
the great thing about that is, and what you got going on is, you know, like, for example, anybody that writes a fantasy book or a sci-fi book, some kind of fictional book, there's only a portion of the people who like that. Period.
Right.
Everybody, though, can relate to something that's personal. They'll have a similar story, something you know, that reminds them of an event in their life as a kid or whatever. So
their granny might be like my granny.
Yeah,
it reminds them of
your buddy that you mentioned one time that had this crazy personality and wild whatever.
Yeah.
They have a buddy like that too that they remember growing up, and so
right.
everybody can relate to that regardless of what they prefer in fiction. TV and movies
and
books.
I cannot sit here and lie and say that I hope it doesn't blow up.
Oh yeah.
And not just for the monetary gain that but because just to accomplish something.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about
it
a lot. Just finishing it is going to be a big accomplishment.
Absolutely. We had a pretty good, I don't know, heated debate one night about all that kind of stuff. And I changed my mindset to that kind of way a long time ago. And it was like, you just finish it. It's a choice.
Just finish it. And that's going to be, when somebody finishes my book, they're going to see, you know, James, this is a recurring theme in James's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody should be able to pick this up and kind of get an idea of who I am, why I am who I am.
Right. And this helps break some of that cycle.
It helps me. It's like therapy.
It is, absolutely.
No doubt. Let me ask you this. How do you get into a zone, a writing zone, like drown out all the noise that's going on, say, in the world, in your life? Do you have a routine?
What I found is I type the first probably 10 chapters, just regular, sitting there, the same spot that I was streaming and editing videos all the time, in the same seat that I've been in for 5 years.
Yep.
And I would get in grooves and, you know, and go, you know, and go fairly quickly. But then a couple of times I'm sitting there like, my back's hurting. I'm tired of sitting here all day, you know, because you're streaming and then you're writing and whatever. So I was like, let me do it old school. So I grabbed a pad and a pen and go in there, sit on the couch and lean backwards and kind of relax. And it starts flowing out of a pen a hell of a lot better than it does typing for me.
Yeah.
Because I was sending you, as a matter of fact, I sent you a couple pictures. Like I wrote two or three chapters in one night a piece within a couple hours, like a whole chapter.
Yep.
That was when it was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you get that, just it's just going. So I've never had an issue with like writer's block. And then.
So when you're typing, you're just copying what you've written.
Yeah. So what I would do is just go in there and just once I write it out, I'm struggling to read my own writing because I'm writing. I write chicken scratch, especially when I'm like in a hurry or trying to just take all my like notes or whatever.
Yeah.
So I would either type it up or use this app on my phone where I would just record. I would just read it, and it types it out for you on your phone, and you email it to yourself, and then paste it in and start cleaning it up.
Right.
So that's the way I found. So I do both. I do both. But I enjoy just sitting there writing for some reason. I mean, your hand cramps up, you know, because I got 10 full pages. It ends up being a chapter or 12 in some cases, or even 15. It was already, and I'm sitting there.
No doubt.
Doing that all in about an hour or two. And I'm like, God almighty, you have to stop, you know.
Because, yeah, when we were in school, you know, our writing muscles were working day.
Yeah, there was no.
So.
We got into. I think we still had typing class.
Yep.
But you didn't use it.
Right.
And when we even went to college, I had this, you know, old flip-up computer with a little printer I thought was so cool. It was like a tiny printer you plugged into it. And that was the first. It was like a briefcase is what it was. Well, something my dad had.
I told you that I thought about getting a manual typewriter.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, for that retro feel and to kind of, yeah, hear that.
Exactly.
But, you know, they're so expensive. Believe it or not.
That's what's crazy when you told me that.
They're so expensive online. And then I started thinking, I do, like, rearrange stuff on the computer when I'm typing.
Yeah.
Or hit backspace and, you know.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
I'm writing with a pen, it's just like, oh, shit. And you're scribbling out the whole line and it just becomes sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, oh, no, I can say that better. And there's been so many times of that. So there's some of those pages that it looks like a lot, but half of it scribbles.
Yeah.
Or I think of another line to insert, and I'm writing it down here, and I put an arrow up here, you know, to where it goes. But either way, I mean, I've done both ways, but that's, to me, it's certainly not more efficient, but I write faster, and it seems to flow better when I write with a pen, old style.
My dream, like, for me, what I do is... I don't know why this is, but for some reason, I have to make a cup of coffee. That seems so weird.
No, I get it.
I drink more coffee when I'm writing than anything. And, you know, sometimes it'll get cold sitting there. Mm-hmm. But that's just part of the routine. I'll make a cup of coffee, and I'll sit down. And like you said about your back.
Yes.
I've got to get a more comfortable setup because... Yeah. When my back stops me from writing, it makes me mad.
Yes.
Because you just can't stay in that position any longer. You've got to change.
That's
right. And then that ruins everything.
And that's what I mean. So then in that case, I would go back to the computer and sit there. Because I've got these nice gaming chairs with the back support and all that. And they're comfortable. It don't matter what chair you got. You sit there that long.
It's the length of time.
It's just because I'm editing all day. And then I'm like, well, I need to write tonight for a couple hours. And, you know, so it just adds to the time.
But my dream is... For some reason, I picture Stephen King. You know how he'll go to Maine where he lives, and he has these cabins, I guess, remote. He probably has whole houses out in the woods, you know.
Mansions. Like Bill Gates. We watched that Bill Gates thing.
No, remember, I didn't watch it. You were telling me about it. But I just picture a cozy room. I would like a real fire going.
Yeah, I was going to say that fire pit, fireplace
with, you know, bookshelves around, a lot of brown in it, a brown leather chair, and I picture
mountain house.
Those green lamps like they have in the libraries on all the at the colleges and all the movies.
Yes,
I'd like to have some cool little lamp on my desk, cup of coffee here, and a laptop, and I think, man, I could churn out some stuff. I believe I could.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everybody needs that kind of, it's like this podcast. Once we get this set up in here and we have everything on the walls and have the lighting right and we have where we're going to be and things here, we don't have to worry because it takes you out of the groove.
Yeah.
And it's the same for writing, I think. If you don't, like when I know it does for YouTube, when you set up, and you've done this too, when you're setting up and moving cameras around and tables and all your shit and you're trying to get in the shot, it takes you out of the mood to record.
Yes.
Because you're doing that for 20 or 30 minutes. And that's why we want to be able to come sit down and do this podcast.
It's
permanent.
Yes.
You know, when these get up here and they're mounted permanently to the table instead of to over here on this stool, just like for over here on Twitch, once I get, I mean, I can sit down now and just click go. But once I get like everything on the shelves and the lighting, how I want it and all that stuff, it'll make me feel better. I just sit down and do it.
Right.
Instead of getting, because it takes you out of that zone.
It really does. I don't know how anybody could write a book or a novel with little kids, toddlers.
Oh, no way.
You know?
No way. There's too many distractions. You've got to get away.
And
what I was saying about the Bill Gates thing, like you mentioned Stephen King, is I just watched that. It was like a little three-part thing. I don't think they've ever made any more. But when he has these projects he wants to jump on, he goes out to this lake house. It's a small little kind of cabin on a lake. By himself for a week, he takes a bag of books, and he reads them all, and okay. then he has these thought experiments almost, and reads all this stuff that he wants to learn about. Of course, he learns it in a week.
Yeah,
he can learn nuclear physics overnight, and he goes out and invents something to help change the world.
Yeah, he's one of those savants.
Exactly. So that's the kind of I agree. You know, the cup of coffee, the little, all that good stuff. I'm sure most people have a routine.
It's kind of like what you were saying on the other podcast about basketball, how, you know, lace your shoes just right.
Yeah. Socks, a routine.
Not
like, because I wasn't superstitious. It was just a routine.
Like you said, when if I feel right and I think I look right, I'll play right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So and I think that carries over to anything.
I do too.
But yeah, I had a question for you in your project.
For it. Yep.
Because it kind of going off an old podcast we did about memory.
Mm-hmm.
How accurate do you think you are?
It's a good question.
Because you got lots of detail, like really small details.
Yes, I do.
You know, the color of a dude's shirt or a car or
Or a smell.
A smell, yeah, exactly. Yep.
I've told people, and I think our memory podcast has a lot to do with this, is as I tell people that, you know, every word of this is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I don't, because a lot of these are stories I've told a lot.
Yep.
You know? Yep. So am I remembering telling the story?
Exactly.
And, you know, that's that kind of stair steps.
Yes.
The last time I told it, was I remembering from the time before that and before that and before that? And
it's a new neural network. Yeah. At work every time.
Just like I told you on the porch earlier, I was like, you know, how I screwed up that story. The doctor murdering his wife.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, doctor, what? You know, and that's a story we've talked about multiple times.
You combined two things.
I combined two things.
Exactly.
So, but with these, honestly, I feel
still can't believe
pretty
that.
Damn confident that I'll bet you I'm 75% of a camcorder. That's how confident I am.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I mean, either way, the story's legit. It's just the minor things is what
that's
would
right.
be off, maybe.
That's right.
The color or the smell or maybe it was a different room or whatever, you
because
know.
I've made my mind up that I'm not going to embellish because there's room for embellishment.
Yeah, sure.
I could really, you know, redneck some of these people up.
You don't need to embellish.
That's what I was going
to
say. I think they're redneck enough as they read.
You do not need to make Joe fucking exotic.
Now, let me ask you this about my book. What do you think about me writing about people? Where do you draw that line?
As far as
writing
like,
some pretty uncomfortable things.
Yeah. No, I think I think it's fair. I don't think there was anything that I've read that out of line,
right?
Because the things they're saying or out loud or whatever to you, that's what affected you.
That's right.
So if you leave that out, then there's no context for why you felt a certain way.
That's right.
Or why you had took an action or whatever. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
Because when I sat down to do it, I started thinking, do I write in the beginning? You know, some names have been changed to protect people.
Yeah.
And then some of the people I wrote about, I sent a chapter to.
That's what I was. That was my next question.
And they said, "I'm okay with that. Leave it."
That's what I was going to ask.
Because they're
anybody
like
anybody that you mentioned, you know,
deacons,
little
in their
Bobby.
Now.
You know, have you sent little Bobby the chapter?
Right.
But now he's old Bobby.
Yeah.
and see if he's cool with it.
I've sent some friends who are, you know, like deacons in churches now.
Right.
And we used to do things that you wouldn't think a deacon would do.
That's right.
And they were like, hey, you know, that's part of our testimony anyway.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't think, unless it was just some god-awful thing, yeah, I don't think it's out of line at all.
Right.
And like I said, if you're trying to be truthful, like we were talking about the memory thing, that's what made you feel or act a certain way in that environment, that situation, because of their actions too.
Yeah, because you know that one chapter you laughed, and I put it in there for the reader to laugh.
Oh yeah,
about the little boy I was playing with, and I said I hated it when his brother, big brother, was there because he always tried to get me to play with his dirty little dick. You remember that?
Yes.
I could have left that out.
Yeah, you could have just said dick.
Yeah, I hated him too. I hated for his big brother to be there and left it at that.
Exactly.
He was a bully. Left it at that.
Exactly. But no, but that's what you were thinking.
Yeah. And honestly, had he not been such a weirdo, the memory might not have stuck.
That's right. That's exactly.
Because I think traumatic things,
exactly,
will bookmark something.
Sure.
You know?
Yep. It's like, because it's like me, I mean, you have the craziest stories. We're in the same town, and I have some crazy stories, but not anything like you have.
It's got to be having a 15-year-old mom.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
no
the
doubt.
Difference.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
No doubt, because it's a kid raising a kid.
A kid raising a kid.
Yep.
You get in adventures.
Exactly.
But
she's still young and wanting to do young people things.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So I don't see anything wrong. I think it's fucking outstanding. I really do. And I think, like I told you when I was looking at that site about some of these literary agents to pitch, you know, try to get publishing and all that stuff, there's a lot on there looking for memoirs. And that surprised me. I guess
surprises
it shouldn't have
me
surprised
too,
me because I enjoy reading. Like I said, everybody has a story, but to see actual, you know, current agents still looking for memoirs is cool.
It is.
I think everybody should write a book.
I'll be honest with you, man. I have been told that because some of these stories are pretty outlandish, and you guys know that too. I've told a lot of you guys some of these stories. But people have told me that I should, you know, not share it so much electronically because they think some of these crazy-ass stories could be good plot devices for other people
to use.
And so I have been thinking that, and that's a good compliment when somebody says, hey, you need to guard this, somebody might steal it, this could be a Netflix series one day.
Right, exactly.
That's a compliment from hell.
It is,
you know,
it is.
And you have to worry, just like you've said before, are these people praising me because they're family and friends? And you do have to worry about that, but I wouldn't do that to you. Like, the legit responses you got, reactions you got from me, I'm not that good of an actor, first off.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, well, when you were saying things like, you know, this little thing didn't have to be there. It was just some action that gives you more insight into how he's thinking or she's thinking or
exactly.
Whatever.
And that was a good addition.
That's the kind of things that I was trying to purposely do to make you understand or feel or that character.
I don't want to give away. Can I just say
sure,
a line from
the book?
Right,
go for it.
Like the point, I know there's a point he's making. I mentioned it a couple times, but the one that really stood out was, dude, they're on horseback and they're having a conversation, and the guy,
I believe this
tosses
was Sirik and Amari, right?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay.
Tosses the apple to the other guy, and it was the way you wrote that he held the apple up like he was toasting him before he took a bite out of it. But in the context of that whole scene, like, it makes it visual.
Right.
It almost makes it like a, and I'm not doing any justice here, but I'm just saying that's the kind of things he's talking about that I would make that mention of. Is
right.
You could have left that out, but it does. It brings
it
to life.
Yeah, it could have been just he tossed him an apple.
Yes.
And you would have assumed he ate it.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Assumed, yeah, but the way, because It's like it, I can just picture
a,
it.
It was
like,
just a little touch to
people
make
do
you
do that.
It was a little touch to make you try to understand more of their relationship and how far back they go and that kind of thing. That was my thing.
And people do that kind of thing.
Right.
And you can totally see it. And it just helps. It's the little things like that. Because anybody can sit down and go, you know, and they rode their magnificent steeds all the way to town.
Right.
You know.
But it's about, and again, this is all based off all the stuff I've read about riding and videos I've watched about riding, is more showing, less telling.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been trying to think about. And then getting all those senses in there when I do narrate something.
Right.
So that was the idea. So I'm glad that I'm getting feedback that's the reactions that I am hoping to get.
Well, what I thought was cool, and that you'll find maybe when you do that live chat thing, is I thought it was cool that I was guessing stuff that was wrong.
Yes.
Because you need that as the author.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah. I mean, if everybody reads right through every sentence you write.
That's right.
This is a waste of your
and
time.
And there's one big point in there that when you read that paragraph, I said, okay, this paragraph is extremely important. And I need to know what you take away from it. And that's all I said.
Yep.
And
I was not 100% right. But I got.
And that's what I needed.
Yes.
That's what I needed.
But what I got was what you were hoping I would get.
Right. So the way it was like one or two sentences, the way I wrote them, it had to come off that way. It worked, at least in that case.
Without giving away too much, you have to keep people off the scent.
Yes.
Yeah. You want the trail to be obvious enough for them to go down that trail.
Right.
But it also has to have be almost like a maze, not just a trail.
There you go.
Yeah. Or let me take this corridor.
Or a trail with pit stops.
Yeah, pit stops. Yeah. Obstacles.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's working good so far. It's exactly what I told you. I said, unless you fucking forget how to write from here on out, you totally just destroy this end it, this is going to be a great book. And I stand by that.
I hope so, man. I hope so. And I appreciate the feedback from you and the few and family and friends that have read it and everybody on Patreon, because I need to hear it, you know. And it makes me feel good that, again, I don't want all the – because everybody's being nice, but I have got some honest feedback, and I want it to be – I want that honest feedback. Because I've written before, but never seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody says, I'm going to write a book. And they start writing, and you might write a paragraph or two, and then it never happens.
That's right.
Because you get busy with life.
I put off these memoirs for years. Mm-hmm. I've had these little files on my computer, and now I'm finally doing it.
Yeah, and you're making me want to write one.
I'll tell you, dude, I'm telling you, like everybody, when they write, you're going to have like an. You know what I mean? You're going to have the.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I read your stuff, like, I'm never going to say any of that because you're going to have an editor for that.
Yeah.
All I'm telling you is this reads well and all that stuff because I'm not the best at punctuation.
Right.
So, you know, we'll let the professionals handle that. I'm here to give you feedback on, is your story good? Are your characters good? And how is it written?
Is it keeping you interested?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's awesome. Before we go, I bought this freaking thing.
Yes, we had big plans.
I thought we were going to have fun with helium and balloons.
It hit me up last night. It said, oh, dude, on the way in a little bit, I got something that's going to change the podcast. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? What's going to change the podcast? And I didn't know if it was an idea or whatever, but this is what it was. Oh,
and
shit.
And so we did a couple practice runs. And
yeah, these don't
I think
work
I've got
well.
Some dud helium. Although, I did make a balloon, and it floats.
Yeah,
I
don't
know.
It's
under this table somewhere.
Maybe it's just our old vocal cords don't work anymore.
So, I don't know if I got bum helium.
Well, it said 80%, but still, that should be plenty.
And I don't know if it goes bad after the longer it sits.
we got this thing. Oh, shit, here's the other one I was going to hang on my nose when we started.
So, I'm not good at this, but
follow the yellow brick road. It's not good. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can hear it better this time.
Christopher, how is your book coming? No, it's working now. What the hell? Coming along pretty good.
What the hell? Is now it halfway down the tank?
Wait a minute. See, it ends so fast, though. I can still kind of hear it.
How's your book coming? Hot stuff.
I think it's coming pretty good, and hoping everybody enjoys it.
Oh my god!
Oh shit!
That was awesome.
I think I got a good hit that time.
Rick, what do you think about all this mess? See, that just barely takes the edge off. I don't know if I'm not in.
Come here, Riddick.
You laugh too. Oh my god, that sounds funny.
Okay, there it goes. You're making me paranoid for some reason.
Smokescreen Podcast number 36 coming at you live.
That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do,
dude. That's the best one yet.
Mm-hmm. We should have put this in the beginning. That's what we're gonna do, but it didn't work earlier. Well, we were trying.
No,
this.
It didn't.
It would like just it would take the edge off the bass and then it would disappear. And now all of a sudden everything's great.
Oh, no. That's our luck.
Of course, we had microphones falling off the fucking table, but we'll get it straight.
Bad helium.
We'll get it straight. We're going to get this stuff going and have proper camera angles and all that stuff. And
proper
this is,
lighting.
We just like literally set this here for something.
Yes.
Because we just have we don't have any sound matting in this room, so it's not set up right, but we'll get there.
Yeah. At least you see.
At least we're in the new house.
Yes.
And no more. The table's here, and everything we add will be permanent.
That's right.
And no more grabbing tables and carrying them across in different rooms and moving furniture out of the way. And
he's got the things that we have to drill through here to mount the microphones. This is gonna be straight up awesome.
Yeah, these are just temporarily on stools like we always had them, but we got these that came with them, and these are big bastards here. This is like a half inch, so you put, if I want the mic right there, I'll just drill a hole and put that bad boy there, and it's permanently mounted.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of stuff to do, and a lot of lighting to get right, and I think we want a logo, and then we'll have, James will be framed, and I'll be framed, then we'll have a distance shot.
And with each one of these, you'll probably see a new little change. It'll evolve slowly.
We'll get this out of the way, and we can have something where you can have your little trinkets and all that cool stuff.
Hell yeah. We'll do an alien autopsy on this table.
Hell yeah.
It reminds me of that escape room we did.
But no, I'm excited about it. Get this place looking right and sounding right. And obviously, this is temporary with this one iPhone going because my camera is completely dead now.
Yeah, that's
it didn't work at all.
A bummer.
And I don't trust anymore. But anyway, I guess we'll wrap it up. Hope
yeah,
you guys...
we'll definitely do a book update.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is just, we're introducing this to you a little bit and letting you know that it exists.
Right. And, I'll be, I don't know how far, I know you're a few chapters out or what your plans are, but I'll be updating, like I said, doing a separate video, kind of introducing the world, obviously stuff like that. And I'll put those links in there as well. And then obviously in that video, and then, some character stuff and all that and let you guys know. So I'll have all those links in the YouTube description. But if you listen on SoundCloud, Google Play, Podcast, Podbean, Spotify, and did I miss one this time? It's been a while. It's been like 3 weeks since we did one of these.
SoundCloud?
I think I did.
Okay.
Anyway, if you listen on another audio platform, if you don't mind, that's the sponsor thing.
Oh, yeah.
They never replied, by the way. But yeah, leave us a rating on there if you don't mind. It'll help us out. And subscribe to the YouTube channel, please. Please do it. It'll help us out.
Yes, and tell your friends.
But anyway, are we going? Are you going
to
fade?
I'm going to try to do one more.
Are you going to fade to black with the chipmunk voice? Here we go.
Fade to black. Why is this working now?
I don't know
what's driving me insane. Here, I'm going to give you another one.